Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Death could not hold you. You are victorious. Grace to the risen King. Death could not hold you. You are victorious. Praise to the risen King. Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. Oh.
Aren't you thankful for what Jesus did for us on the cross? I want you to shake hands with somebody around you. Just say, I'm glad to see you at church this morning. We'll go on in just a minute. I've asked Charlton if he would pray this morning as we go on in our service. I've really learned to appreciate this young man, and I enjoy and I appreciate his help up here this morning. So, Charlton, why don't you lead us in prayer?
If you pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've just allowed us to come here and to worship you and just come closer and just have a moment with you. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us open our hearts and just be open to you and to what you would say to us, and just be with us, and pray that you would bless everybody that's here today. In your name, amen.
You can be seated. Let's sing this morning, Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name is holy.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is healing. Jesus, your name is mine. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name is high. Jesus, your name is holy. Jesus, your name brings light. Jesus, your name above every other. Jesus, your name is life.
We're going to sing Be Into Your Name. It's number 319. If you'd like to use a hymnal.
We are a moment, you are forever. Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal. Love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. We are the broken, you are the healer. Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song We'll sing forever, crowning before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praise is honor and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name.
Let's sing the chorus again.
Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praise His honor and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Praises to
sing that a cappella one time, just lifting our voices. Holy,
holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praise His honor and glory be unto your name. Be to your name.
Amen.
I stand in awe within the presence of the Lord, in whom the wisdom of the ages lies, for whom the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice, the only source of life. Thank you.
Let's sing this morning, His Name is Wonderful. Why don't we stand together and sing?
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him. Adore Him. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my. Let's sing it together again. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is a mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
If we could have the ushers come forward, we'll receive the offering at this time. You can go ahead and be seated. Since you don't know what to do, just sit down.
Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May we not take your name lightly, Father. We thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to come together and just worship together and worship you. And we thank you for this time in our service, Lord, when we can worship you by giving back to you, by what you have given to each one of us. We thank you for the abundance we have, and we just pray that as we cheerfully give back to you without strings for you to use as you please, that you would multiply it and use it to your glory in this community and beyond. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cause you restore.
athletes, every one of them unique. Their events are different. Their training is diverse. Their journey is anything but ordinary. And yet, in the middle of all that uniqueness, there's one thing they have in common. One part of their journey that's consistent across all others. Every person who's ever played any sport at any time must, at all times and in all ways, overcome. And it's not only folks from the world of sports, businessmen and businesswomen, moms and grandparents, students who are finishing and only just beginning. All must learn to push through adversity and to experience their reward on the other side. Because the greatest rewards are always given to the ones who overcome.
Overcome. You're overcomers today. Welcome to Football Sunday. And it's a football Sunday, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, whatever you name it. But it's a Sunday that a lot of people's minds are on the game of football. And so what better opportunity to take advantage of using football as an illustration today and talk about what I love about football. Now, a few folks have come up to me this morning and said, Pastor, we hate to burst your bubble, but the Chiefs aren't in the Super Bowl today. Okay. But they are on my fantasy team. They're there, okay, and they've already won it all. So, but anyway, so I'm past that moment of denial, and we'll go to what our passage is for us today. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. But I do just want to welcome you this morning and just let you know that we have a great opportunity of fellowship today to be able to have a unified service. So when we talked about Football Sunday this year, like how do we want to do it? A lot of times we've canceled the evening service and everybody huddled here, but we wanted to encourage small groups tonight and encourage folks getting together in their homes and using this as an opportunity to invite an unchurched neighbor into your home and be a witness to them through the activity of sport. I've linked you into a website called football.com where you can get short vignettes, testimonies, full-length film of some stuff I'm going to show you today, but you can get the full length there as well. So if you want to have a pre-game huddle at your Super Bowl tonight, you can go to this website and use that as just an opportunity to share with your friend. You know, there's our guys out there in the game of football that there's more to their life than football. Life isn't about football. In fact, one of my good friends is an NFL football player retired who played for the St. Louis Rams during the Super Bowl season. And I know a lot about his life, and I know there's a whole lot more to this man than just what he was able to accomplish on the field. And you're going to learn that about a couple of men today. I've invited a few NFL players here. Carson Wentz is one. He'll be with us today. We're good buddies. And I got him here. Do you believe that? No. It'll be by video. But we are joining in with thousands of churches across our country and worldwide on this event to share in this together Football Sunday. So go to footballsunday.com this afternoon. Watch some more of what you'll see a little bit of today as you think about football. Besides that, you know, there's no really important teams in the game today, so you'll have some time to even watch that. So it's also a good halftime opportunity as well. So I want to encourage that. I think I left my bottle of water down here, too. I'm going to grab that down here, too. Yeah, you want to slide that down to me? Thank you. High-quality H2O. Every good athlete needs that, too, right? And preachers. Thought I should clarify that. So let's look at our text today, because what I want to talk to you about today is what you can learn from football and other sports. In fact, the opening illustration there today is from last year's Football Sunday. I just liked it so much I wanted to use it as intro today because it featured not just football athletes, but athletes in general. And not just athletes, but also business people, seniors. We all have something in common, and that is life can throw us a lot of adversity, and we need to overcome. And as Christians, that's what we've been labeled, overcomers. We are overcomers. We are winners. So let's look at this as we look at a game plan that was laid out by the senior minister, Paul, as he's sharing with the younger minister who's getting into the game, who's now ready to go, and he's commissioning him, charging him with his role, what his responsibilities are in ministry. Just like a coach would be challenging the players about what their role are, what their position is, what their duties are and responsibilities are, and the first time you get hit, to get back up and go again and repeat. And so that's what we're getting into. We're getting into Timothy's game plan here. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to pick up at verse 1. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. But you will be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and at the time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the truth. Faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord is the righteous judge, who will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's our passage for today. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that as Paul lays out the challenge to Timothy, he's able to look back to his own ministry, Father, and see the race that he has run. And now is preparing young Timothy to run that same race, to fulfill his calling, to overcome the adversity in life. And so, Father, as we see on display today, great athletes, may we be reminded it is not as easy as it looks, that there's a lot of sweat and hard work that's gone behind the success of either one of these teams. And Father, when you call us into the game of life, it's not easy. And a lot of times there's adversity that we must overcome. But we have that calling. We've been called into the game. We've been called to be an active player, to overcome, to rise up. May we be encouraged by your word today, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we talk about football in church, football this year, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news, but football this year has stirred up a lot of controversy, the NFL especially. And it's over guys taking a knee and protesting the national anthem. And it stirred up a lot of controversy. There was a guy who took a knee for another reason, and that stirred up a lot of controversy. And you'll remember his name was Tim Tebow. He was taking a knee to give the Lord praise. But yet, the NFL didn't rush to his defense. And he was told to stop it. So we know there's controversy, right, with football. What I wanted to talk to you about today is not really the controversy of those who took a knee, but I want to lift up to you some examples of those who have taken a stand. Who have taken a stand for their faith. Who have used football as their platform for their witness. One guy in particular that we'll look at today is Carson Wentz, who is the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, who suffered a serious injury during the season and had to be set aside. Strong believer, strong man of faith. His replacement, Nick, is also a strong believer, and when he retires, he's going to be a pastor. So, God, let the Eagles win. No. Now, there's a lot of Christians on the Eagles teams. But we're also going to see that, you know what, God doesn't care who wins today when it comes to the Eagles or the Patriots. He doesn't care who wins on that field, because there's believers on the Patriots team, as you will see here in a few moments too. But these are men that have used the platform of football to share their faith. And I want to encourage you today to use the platform that God has given you to take a stand for Jesus. To take a stand for Jesus. To be willing to pay the price that comes along with that and to sacrifice. To run your race. So last week we were in this passage. We were actually in another passage, but we referred to this one. We were talking about Paul's race, how he was at the beginning of that race in Acts. As he says, I am running the race. I'm in the game. And so years ago, Paul, the apostle, used a sports illustration in his message. So it's okay today for us to have Football Sunday and use a sports illustration because Paul did it. If the apostle Paul did it, we can all do it, right? Amen. Okay, so the apostle Paul talks about running a race. And he would know what he was talking about because actually, did you know the Olympics were originating around the time of Paul? So he would have been familiar with the Olympics. And the running the race metaphor would have been quite fitting at that time. So he talks about him running a race. But now we're coming into a point in his life where he has talked about his faith, trusting God through the process. Last week we talked about how he learned to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, to face unknown certainties. We talked about facing resistance with an uncommon confidence, to keep pressing on for that prize. For Paul, the final record is found in today's text, in 2 Timothy, especially verses 6 through 8, where he says, I am already been poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. The end is near. He sees the finish line, and he says, finally, in verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Paul no longer has to look ahead. He sees the finish line. In football, we talk about life comes in quarters, right? You may be in the first quarter of your life. You may be in the second. We talked about this some last week. You may be in the fourth quarter. You may see the time ticking down on the clock and that your end has come. Can you, like Paul, stand there and say, I have fought the good fight. I have been faithful to the end. And I'm leaving a legacy. I'm mentoring this young man, Timothy, so that he'll pick up the mantle. He'll continue the race. And he'll run the race with endurance. I'm encouraging him. I'm charging him. I'm letting him know he will face these kinds of adversity. I am standing, encouraging and cheering young Timothy. You see, he lived his life with a single goal, and that was to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in all that he did. And I want you to see in a few moments, we'll be watching a video, where we'll see how these men are taking their platform to lift up the name of Christ. In our text, Paul shows the illustration of track as an example of living out the Christian calling, of running this race with endurance. I want you to know that in sports and in life, too many of us will give up too soon. We give up too quickly. I can remember in high school running a race. I can still remember to this day just feeling like I had nothing left to give. And I had actually been out the night before involved in activities I probably shouldn't have been. And I just didn't have it in me to finish that race. And I drifted off the side. The only thing is this was a race that I could have, if I'd won and I'd been running pretty good, if I'd won, I'd have been in districts, which then I could have gone to state. Don't know if I'd have made it that far. I'll never know because I quit. I stood offside. I was hurting so bad, I stopped running. And I'll never forget the look of disappointment of my coach when we were on the bus driving back. And he looked back down the aisleway at me and just shook his head. He was disappointed. Too many times, we don't overcome the adversity. We don't press through. Because I want you to know there's been other races where I ran. And I was able to press through that moment of not feeling well or like I didn't have anything left to give. And you just kept pushing on and pushing on. And then you hear somebody cheering you on. And you know you've got a cloud of witnesses encouraging you to run and run. And you give it all that you got. And so I could show you my letter jacket. Just let you know I'm not that great of an athlete. But I got one gold medal, one silver, and one bronze on there. And I'm so proud of those. I wasn't the best one on the track team, but I could do it. I could overcome. I had it in me to do it, and I would have never known that if I had a coach pushing me on and folks cheering me on and me giving it all that I had. I learned a lot in that year of track. I want you to know that we can learn a lot in the life of sports. We should never give up on our dreams. And in order for those players to be on both sides of the field today and to be able to compete at the highest level of professional football, in order for them to be there, they had to overcome a lot of obstacles in their life. They had to put in a lot of practice. They had to make a lot of sacrifices to be there. And just in following days, we're going to be watching the Olympics. The same thing applies. These athletes had to give it their all. They had to make several sacrifices in their life to get to that level of competition to succeed. I want you to tell you that as a Christian, we need to be full on and all the way into running that race, playing our game with full endurance, overcoming whatever obstacle may come our way. I love football and other sports because they remind me of life and the lessons that we can learn through them. And I'm telling you, the greater your expectations, the greater your results. And the greater your ambitions, the greater spirit you'll have to overcome. So we're going to go to video here, and you're going to see some athletes from both sides. And you're also going to hear a little narration at the beginning of that as well by James Brown. So let's go ahead and start that. And I got that right here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Super Bowl weekend, and I'm your host, James Brown. You know, whether you're an avid fan, a casual spectator, or someone who loves watching the game for the commercials, the Super Bowl continues to be one of our most popular cultural events each and every year. And with kudos and gratitude to the donors, NFL players, and the amazing team at Sports Spectrum, you're now watching Football Sunday 2018.
This season, like every season I've been here, you just have your ups and your downs.
So to be at a point after week four, 2-2, some bad losses, it's like they're done. To be here now, I think it's just a credit to us sticking together.
It just goes to show you that it's a long journey. It took the guys and coaches to stick together in this locker room and tune out the noise on the outside and stick it to one another and playing for each other.
Scripture tells us that adversity is a good thing, that God uses that a certain way, and I think that adversity was used to kind of help make our football team come together more.
One of the qualities that I think makes it so special is guys care about other guys outside of the football game. And they carry you through, they get you through that stuff, and you're happy that you have those guys and they bring you through all the tough times.
When we get together at different times, when we talk about things to me that are more important than football, if you need help as being a father or a husband, advice in those things.
I mean, we had a huge group of guys in here that walk that walk, and it's hard to walk that life. But when you have great guys around you to hold you accountable, that helps you a lot.
I've been so encouraged this year by the body of believers that we have here. So many strong men that God has gifted in different ways. It's really been an honor to be a part of such a unique group this year.
It's an overwhelming sense of brotherhood and joyfulness and camaraderie, accountability in the things of God, in the character of God, and how we should live and move and have our being.
I've grown a lot, you know, since being here in my faith.
My faith could not have come at a better time. It's been so much more valuable than any of the wins that we've done. It's been the true treasure of coming here to New England.
So I really feel like he's given me this great opportunity to play a game that I love so much. He's given me people in my life, ability to go out here and do this, and then ultimately it gives me a platform to give him glory.
You know, without Christ, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you guys right now. All glory goes to him.
Just authentic community. You know, guys are talking about their struggles. Guys are talking about the things that they're working through, the things that, you know, are going well in their lives, the things that are, you know, difficulties, whatever it might be.
You know, the biggest thing about the guys in the locker room is that there's a bunch of unselfish players. You know, it's a really, you know, tight-knit group. It's really what a team should be.
These are guys that not only love me as a player, but encourage me more so off the field to stay true to the word. To be in the Word, to consistently seek growth.
My relationship with God is the only reason why I'm playing football. Every time I'm out in the field, I'm not trying to bring my name glory, I'm trying to bring God's name glory, because He's the one who's given me the opportunity and really paved the way for, you know, me to be here in this position I'm in now.
when I'm focused on him, everything else can be scattered. Everything else can be hectic, and I'm at peace and I'm level. And, you know, I think ultimately that's the love and the grace, the beauty of Christ and having a true relationship with him.
My relationship with Jesus is second to none. Last year was the first year that I truly dedicated my life to Christ. I got baptized in March, and with Jesus in my life, I know exactly who and why I'm playing this game.
This team really has become a brotherhood that has actually even gone even into the coaches and the players. They truly are a family.
Carson went down. It was obviously tough for the team. A guy that was pretty much the rock of the team. And when he got hurt, everyone was extremely devastated.
We were obviously playing extremely well. You know, we were on pace to go win the NFC East. We were just really clicking. Offensively, we've been playing really well throughout the game. I almost felt like I was playing as fast and as, like, just carefree in a good way. Just, like, I felt like I was in total control out there and potentially, like, had to feel for the game that I probably hadn't had on that level yet. I just felt this probably as good as ever. And I scrambled around and dove in and didn't think much of it. And I started standing up and I realized, okay, my left leg, something's wrong. Every time I stepped, I could not put pressure on it. I could barely walk. And so I stayed in there for four more plays. Two of them were runs, and I caught the ball, handed off. I usually carry out my fake and do everything, and that wasn't happening. And then he called a pass, and I'm like, okay, I got to get the ball out. I can't stand here very long. And threw it. It was incomplete. I just turned and put my head down and started walking off. I'm thinking third down. And the coach was like, no, go back out there. Fourth down, we're going for it. I'm like, all right, here we go. As I'm like struggling just to walk back to the huddle. And I'm just like, okay, well, I hope they, my first read's open. I'm like, something's got to happen. Of course not. I just stood in there. Someone finally started breaking through the line, and I just kind of threw it in the direction of Alshon and Nelly. Like, and it was all a gift from God that was completed for a touchdown. Usually I'm running in there to celebrate and have fun with my guys, and I just said, okay, cool. And I walked straight to the train. I'm like, we need to go in that tent. Something's wrong. And I just remember saying, Jesus, 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 like over and over, like, I need you, I need you. Trainers were looking at it, doing their tests, and I honestly wasn't even really paying attention to their tests. I was just laying back, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's the only one that could make it better, and he's the only one that could provide me peace. And at the same time, I'm like, your will, because I knew I needed him emotionally, physically, kind of everything in that moment. Woke up and from the surgery and felt okay, and then the next day came and I felt miserable. It was one of the worst days of my life because I couldn't even sleep. Like, there was just so much pain, and you never think you're gonna be that guy. And I'm just like, this is me now. I am that guy. This is reality for me, and how am I gonna come back from it? To know, like, all the pain I'm going through, and to think of what Jesus went through for me, it made me recognize a deeper level of love than I think I ever have really felt in a long time. It's always easy to say he's in control of everything, but the more I recognize, like, I need him in literally every moment of every situation when I'm can't even walk and do things, the more I realize, like, he's got everything in the palm of his hand.
You just have to know and be comfortable knowing that this is exactly where God has us. We know that he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't pace back and forth. He's seated on the throne. He knows that this is exactly where we need to be.
And just this whole season, you know, guys have stepped up, backups have stepped up, guys have prepared like they were going to be the starter, you know, going into that game, even though they weren't, and they were just ready for their number to be called.
I think that's what's made this year so amazing, is how this entire team, players, coach, staff, secretaries, just coming together for this common cause of family.
Powerful testimony when you listen into the story behind the story, isn't there? And I just want to remind you today that we all have a story. We were singing that in one of our songs about how this is our story. We all have a story to tell. So it doesn't matter what you're doing in life, whether you're competing at the highest level of football, you're involved in any type of athletes at all, if you're in business, if you're retired, We are all in the game. There was a line in there where it said that his season was over for Carson Wilson. His season was over. And that simply was not true. He is still one of the most active contributors to his team by his spirit and presence on the sideline. While he cannot play, he is still there present. And it wasn't that just within a couple days after his initial injury that Carson Wentz was on social media sharing his story and about how to overcome adversity as well. So he's been an excellent story to follow this year, and I have followed him somewhat just because of that Facebook post I saw, and I thought, well, that was interesting. And so I've followed this along a little bit, and for it to come to the end of the season, to have the Philadelphia Eagles competing against the Patriots, it's an amazing thing that they made it that far without their quarterback. But Nick Foles has stepped up and has done a great job. He's also a strong believer, too. So I want to encourage you, if you're a football fan and you didn't get enough of this today and you want to hear some more of their stories, go to footballsunday.com and you can get vignettes of many of the other players, too, talking about things like serving and worshiping and just witnessing, being standing up on the platform that God has given him. You saw short vignettes of that, but there's a longer expanded video on the website. So I want to encourage you to go there. But I want also to remind you, one of the things I like about football is there's a sense of belonging to the team or any competitive sport, whether it's basketball or track or baseball, whatever it is, you're part of the team and you're a contributing member. And I want to equate that also to the fact that Paul was using a sports illustration to remind Timothy of his ministry, of the calling he had to live out his faith and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We saw that in the context today, that even in a time when it's not popular to preach the word, to encourage, to instruct, and to rebuke, to exhort, preach the word in season and out of season. There comes a time when not everybody wants to hear it, but you still stay faithful to the word. And one of the things I heard one of these players talking about in this video here too was about how they encourage each other to get into the word. What are they doing on Sundays most during the football season? They're playing football. They don't get to go to church on a regular basis, but they still have church. You'll notice each one has a team chaplain, and they still have church. They still have Bible studies. They encourage one another. And this lasts after they retire, and they still remain close friends. The football buddy I was telling you about still goes out hunting with names you would recognize from Super Bowl 2000. And it's interesting to know that there's a friendship that goes beyond what takes place on the field. In fact, that has a little to do with their personal lives as much as who they are off of the field. And so for these men to be men of God and to give their lives to Christ in a field that's tough to compete in and to be a Christian in can encourage you and I as well. So use those examples in times of the year like this during competitions to be able to encourage each other about the and those who that love athletes, love sports, but are not strong believers to be a door, a bridge that you can introduce your faith to. His season was over. It simply was not a true statement. And it's not true in your life either. Your season is never over. Sometimes someone may try to tell you, you're done, you're through, you're off the team. Your season is never over. You may face an adversity, but your season is not over. In our passage today, as Paul is coaching young Timothy, he's given him the game plan. He comes to a verse in verse 5 that I want to key into here, and he says, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry." Now, just that phrase, "be watchful in all things," I had a chance to watch this clip more than most of you, but there's a part that caught my eye when he talks about he's already suffered the injury, he's done two plays, and then he throws that pass for a touchdown. He says, "I saw." He says, "I was just hoping that my first person was open." He says something like that, but he says, "Then I saw." Do you realize how much intensity a quarterback has to have to see all things happening at once and looking for that opportunity? Then they don't always see it. But he was watchful, and he saw it. So even playing injured, he had an opportunity to make a touchdown pass. So the game is not over, even if we've had some setbacks. In our passage today, as Paul is coaching young Timothy to overcome He's coaching him like any other great coach would do, mentor would do. He himself had already overcome. He's been an overcomer all of his life. He survived imprisonment. He survived stonings, being left for dead. And he continued to preach on. So he's telling young Timothy, preach, teach, rebuke. He's giving him the instructions. But in verse 5, he focuses on that. Endure afflictions and do the work of evangelists. Fulfill your ministry. And that's what I wanted to finish up with today, is that as we have seen the examples of these great athletes overcoming adversity in their life and achieving the levels that they've been able to in the sport and in their personal lives, we can be reminded that we too can be overcomers. But we have to set our standards high. And we have to know the goal. We have to press on toward the prize and overcome to do the work that God's called us to do, to be faithful in our Christian life. So I just want to give you a few pointers on how to do that, because this is your story. We just watched Carson Wentz's story and the story of a few others, but in the end it focused on his story. And his story did not end with the words, his season was over. He's still going on and he's using his platform to share his faith. So just let me point out a couple of things I want to encourage you with. In order to endure, you got to know the playbook. You got to know the game plan. And Paul is telling young Timothy the game plan for his ministry. What's your game plan? What has God called you to do? And who has he called you to be? What's your story? What have you overcome in life? God will use the very platform of things that you've overcome to be a help to someone else. That's your ministry. That's your area. What is he calling you to do? And to keep your eyes on. What game are you in? What ministry has he called you to? Stay in God's word. Keep it central in your life. Like the athlete keeps his head in the game, we've got to stay focused on our purpose. That's why Paul uses that analogy. I press on toward the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. I press on. You get that image of endurance. Of being in it for the long haul, of not quitting, not giving up easily. Press on. Do your reps. Do your practice. Know the playbook. Read it. Spend time in the Word. Go deeper in the Word. Go to the Lord in prayer. And spend time pouring out your heart to Him. Your frustrations like David did in the Psalms. Know the Word and be encouraged by the Word. And also, another thing that you can do is keep your head in all situations. I use the illustration of David. Do you know that if he had acted impulsively, he could have killed Saul twice? King Saul in the Old Testament. But he said, touch not God's anointed. He withdrew. In the end, Saul does die, really by his own sword. And David never laid a hand on him. But somebody completed the job. And you know what David did to him? Took off his head. Because he touched God's anointed. So in other words, what I'm saying is don't lose your head or don't take off somebody else's head in the wrong situations. Keep your head in all situations. Don't panic when the score looks bad. Man, there's been some really tight games this year in the playoffs. There's been some tight games in Panther Gymnasium there in the arena. There's been some tight games. You get right down to a buzzer shot. That's a pretty tight game, isn't it? Don't lose your head. Play the game until the final tick on the clock. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep your head in the game. Stay focused at all times, no matter what the score looks like. Listen to your coach. Listen to those who are cheering you on in the stands. Tune out the critics. You know, one of the things I always like watching in sports is those people who try to distract a guy shooting the free throw shots. They holler something out, or if they're behind a glass goal and waving at them and all that stuff. Same thing with the extra point on football, you know, all those things. Everybody's trying to distract. Keep your eye on the prize, what you're doing to win that game. Listen. Do what you're called to do. You know, in the Olympics promotion, I like hearing this song. It's been playing over and over again. You were made for this. You're made for this. So what I want to tell you today is your season is not over. You're still in the game. Give it your best. Stay focused. Stay in the Word, because you were made for this. The Word tells you that you're an overcomer. You were made for this. Are you discouraged about anything today? In your Christian walk, have you become discouraged, maybe disillusioned a little bit? Things don't quite, are not quite going out how you thought they would as you walked the Christian walk? Or maybe you're discouraged financially. Maybe you're discouraged by the job situation. Maybe your relationship is having its challenges. You were made for this. As a believer, you're an overcomer. Play the game. Go all in. Play to the last tick on the clock. And don't forsake the encouragement that you receive from the others cheering you on. That's why I think church is so important. Because one, it's about whose team you're on. And I'm not talking about the Patriots or the Eagles. I'm talking about, are you on God's team? God's team. There's two teams there, the devils and the saints. Which team did you sign up for? And by default, you're drafted by the devils if you don't sign up for the saints. Okay. So are you a saint today? That means, have you come to the point where you've signed up on God's team and you said yes to him so that you are an overcomer? Because you can't wear that label and you can't run for that prize. You cannot compete in this game unless you're all in and you give your life to Jesus Christ. Have you done that today? And maybe you're here today and you've done that. I think I'm going to preach another sermon here because lunch is waiting on us, so I get extra time today, right? Okay. If you've done that, if you signed up, are you giving it all in the game or are you discouraged? Maybe you've suffered a kind of an injury. Carson Wentz was out for the season as far as being able to be out there on the field, but he's still part of his team and he's still coaching, encouraging others. Your role may change. You may not do the same thing for all the years that you're in the life of the church. You may not have the same position. And you may not teach the same Sunday school class or be on the same committee till death do you part. But your role can change. And I've seen it change in a lot of saints here. That's why I like to stop in the senior adult ladies class, because I know their roles have changed. They're not as active as they used to be when they were younger. They're in the last quarter of their game. But I tell you, you'll never find a stronger prayer warrior than one of those ladies in that class. When they tell you they're praying for you, they're praying for you. Okay. They're coaching you. They're encouraging you. So I love our senior ladies. We'll put them on the cheerleading squad. How about that? In our fantasy football game here. Okay. What is your role? How's it changing? What does God want you to do? What ministry does he want you in? He doesn't want you to be sitting in the stands. There are many, many, many people today that will be watching the game quarterbacking from the Lazy Boy with chicken wings and Doritos, okay, who could in no way compete at that level. But they know everything about the game of football, and if this guy would have just done it this way, then they would have won or they would have lost. You know, how many times have you coached from the Lazy Boy? That's not what God wants us doing in the life of the church. He wants us to get out of our lazy boys and get into the game. Amen. Get into the game. So how's he asking you to get into the game today? If you're discouraged, if you feel injured, if your ACL, your LCL, or, you know, something's out of funk. Carson recognized something wasn't quite right. And he did two things. He went to the team doctors. And he went to the great physician. Even as he's walking off the field saying, Jesus, Jesus, he knew he needed Jesus. He knew he was going to need his emotional and spiritual support as well as the physical support of that doctor. So I'm going to ask you today, are you calling on his name? Jesus. Jesus. Name above all names. As we stand together today, we're going to close out our service here in just a moment. But I want you to know that the altar is open. And if you have anything that you need to pray about, any decision that you need to make, I encourage you to come down at this time as we sing.
She wants to be saved.
Okay.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hand. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow.
Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. You are high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, the treasure of heaven crucified, worthy is the Lamb.
Let's sing it again. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for those nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, high and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God, the treasure of heaven crucified, worthy is the Lamb.
Now Carson said something in his video too about when he thought about the sacrifice and the pain that Jesus went through for him. That was of eternal significance. You know, you go through an injury like that, it's very painful. A lot of times we go through life situations that can be painful. And you might be sitting in the midst of some pain right now. And I'm just saying to you, give it to Jesus. Jesus, 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 Carson kept saying as he walked into that locker room waiting to see what was wrong. Jesus, Jesus. First place you should go. First name that should come to mind. Walk with him. Walk close with him. And I'm telling you, he'll take you through any situation that presents itself. You think you have adversity? Jesus knows adversity. You've got nothing on Jesus. And he's got everything for you to help you through whatever adversity you're facing. Somebody here today is in the middle of a struggle and they're holding on to their own pride and their own life so tough they just won't give it to the Lord. Someone here today has that going on. Just let it go. Give it to the Lord. Jesus, right now, right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I just feel this strongly. Somebody here right now is holding on to something so tight. It may be anger. It may be bitterness. It may be an idol. And by idol, I don't mean a golden Buddha. I mean something that you're holding on that you think is more powerful than God. Even your own sin or even anything that's keeping you from God. You're giving more power to that than you are to God. Somebody right now, just give it to him right now. Don't leave this room with this burden. Walk into the great physician's office. Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just thank you so much that there's been a lot of in the message today through song and word and testimony of just how great your mercy is and how powerful the name of Jesus is and how there's not a soul in this room today that cannot be washed clean white as snow. That every one of us who have called upon the name of the Lord have been shown mercy and grace And we've been given the ability and the power to overcome. And so when we get knocked down, when we get set back, when we face adversity, help us to know the quicker we go to Jesus, the quicker we can be back in the game. Full strength, full on. That you, life is too precious to waste getting caught up in the things of this world or the distractions of anything sinful that the enemy will use to entangle us. It's too short. Let's love one another. Let's get into the game. Let's do the work of the evangelist. Let's do the work of the ministry that you've called us. Let's get into that game. Let's use our platform and our adversity to help others who are struggling. Because so many times people look at Christians and they think, I can't get it together like this Christian or that Christian. I'll never be able to be worthy to be in the church or involved in that. And I wish I had what they had, but I'm just not good enough. And that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. None of us are worthy, but by your mercy, you've given us a new season. You've given us a new opportunity. You've given us a fresh life. And Father, let no one leave this building today not knowing there's hope in the name of Jesus. We can enjoy sports. We can enjoy sports at the highest level of competition. But what's really interesting is the story behind the story, the adversity that's overcome. And what I really find interesting is see the role of faith in many of our athletes. So thank you for the opportunity to worship with these men today as they use their platform to share their faith. And may it encourage us and athletes of all sports, and male and female, young and old, to use our platform. And if we're not an athlete, to use our platform of our business. To use the platform of our work, what we do with our hands. To use the platform of the relationship that we have or those that we teach to mentor and to give that word of hope in this game of life. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share a couple things with you. We got an announcement I don't want to forget about. And then before we do that, we have a young lady that's come up here, Bobby. Okay. Now, Bobby's got a couple friends have been talking to her about the Lord. And you might remember that these two friends were just baptized last week. So I tried to stop them because they haven't been trained in evangelism yet. Okay. But when you discover something new and you experience Jesus for the first time, all you got to do is tell somebody your story. And you keep telling your story. In fact, you have been some in the evangelism class, haven't you? The three circles. So these ladies have been sharing their faith. And in the process of that, Bobby has come to accept Christ in their home the other day. He wants to share that with our church and would like to present herself for baptism and as a candidate for membership in our church by going through our membership class. Okay. Roberta, you came up last week, right? Did you come up last week? Yeah. Roberta is waiting baptism too, so we'll get you two worked out. We'll talk Wednesday night, okay, and we'll go take it from there. As we leave today, a couple announcements, and then we got a VBS announcement. First one is, as you leave today and you go out, there is lunch. So this is one big tailgate party that we've been having this morning, okay? So there is food. Just go down the hallway and go into that first door into the kitchen. That's how the line's going to go. The other thing that I was instructed to tell, make sure I don't forget anything, is that when you sit down at your table, you need to sign your table a team name. Can't be the Chiefs, because that's mine already. No. it can't be the Raiders, and it can't be the Broncos. No, okay, I eliminate all those names. But choose it.
Put Chiefs down.
There you go. And I'm just kidding. You can put any team name you down. But when you sit down at your table, be sure to choose a team name. So as we dismiss, though, come by and welcome Bobby to our family. But there's a couple ladies. I'm just going to warn you a little bit. They're a little crazy. They wear matching shirts so that we can pick them out in the crowd. But they have an announcement today. So go ahead. Yeah.
Say, get your game on, because that's our theme this year for VBS. Get your game on. Get your cheerleading on, get your band on, get your game on, whatever your game is, because God wants to use us to reach souls. That's the whole point of VBS and everything we do is to reach souls. And it's January, and or February now, and you think, oh, well, that is all the way back. That's all the way to summer. July 15th is when we're starting. Just to give you a heads up on that, mark the date. July 15th through that Thursday night. I don't remember the last day, but it's in there. Mark your calendars and figure out how are you going to join us. Are you going to be a student in VBS? Are you going to be bringing people to VBS? We need helpers, but right now what we really, really need is prayer. Because prayer that God will anoint this and grow. We here in Mountain Grove, we need Christ. And we know all of our neighbors need Christ, and that's how we share. So please get involved. Start right now praying. And you'll see this t-shirt, and we've got a few other t-shirts too. You'll see us around. Talk to us. Talk to Amy, LeBon, me. Kathy Dickey can help you with it too. We want to see God glorified this summer with Game On VBS. That's what we want to see, and we're asking for your prayer to make that happen. Thank you.
Amen. I love that, Game On. Okay, so if you guys will come up here, you can stand with your friend and just come by and welcome Bobby is her name. Just say you're welcome to the family of God, that God's got great plans for her life as you come through, and then go out and join us for lunch. Stay for lunch. Even if you didn't bring anything, there's going to be plenty of food. I understand there's plenty of sweets. That's the most important thing. So we're good. Let's stand. Go ahead and play us something.